Today I'm here to recruit. Hey, I'm a recruiter. Recruit for the Lord's Army. We've been singing some Army songs this morning. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the great warfare that's going on and explain a little bit about it and talk to you about a little bit about the enemy. Remember the story of Noah? When Noah, at the time of Noah, the world had been, Noah's ancestors had been very clearly divided into two kinds of people. One kind was called the sons of God. They were the people that prayed to the true God, and they followed him, and they tried to obey him. There weren't very many of them, but they were known. They were very known as the sons of God. Well, the other people were known as the children of men. The children of men were the ones who were uppermost in society. They were the ones who were in control of government. The great men, the renowned men of that time were the children of men. They were the ones who didn't love or serve God. And so there was a great difference between the two. But what happened around the time of Noah was that the children, the sons of men, began to notice the pretty girls over, the sons of God began to notice the pretty girls over in the children of men. And they began to intermarry until things were so mixed up, there was not much of a difference. But there was one man who was different. His name was Noah. God talked to him and said, "The violence on the earth is so great that I cannot allow it to continue. And I want you to build an ark." And we know the story. But what I wanted to just point out was that great difference and how it was Satan's aim to get it to where there was no one who could be called a son of God. He wanted to mix them up. It's the mixture that's always gotten people. As long as you're clearly on God's side, you do well. But what Satan's constantly trying to do is to get us to cross over and to just join up with the other side. Quit fighting and let's all get along and we'll all just go our way. But you know, that's not the way that it really is. We don't just all get along and go our own way. There has always been, and there always will be, God and his side, the truth, righteousness, and holiness, and being children of that, or followers of that, believers of that, soldiers in that army. And then there is the foe, Satan and his agents and the things that he uses. And the thing about this is, you and I are born with a nature that aligns itself with God's enemy from birth. And so when we get up to a certain age, we have to make the decision. Do we go with the inborn desires and longings and lusts of our own nature that we were born with, the sinful nature? Do we just keep on going with that? Or do we choose to go God's way? Do we get on God's side? And God sends his spirit. He sends it through, many times, a person's parents. If the parents are living for God, then the parents endeavor to train the child to believe in God. And then to educate them about this great warfare. And to tell you, you want to go your own way, but we want you to do this. And a lot of times there's a great conflict as you try to bring a child into subjection to God's ways. They don't want to do that. You have a nature inside you that wants to go your own way. Everything about your body, your flesh, and your mind. And let's read a scripture about this. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read to you about this great force that's in, and I'll call it, and the Word calls it, the world. When, and Paul explained it like this. When he was a little child, he was alive in his spirit. And a lot of times many little children are. They're not, even though by nature they're sinners, they're not sinners entirely by choice. A lot of them want to love Jesus and want to serve the Lord, but you have this battle. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have this conflict going on where you know what's right, but you have a strong pull to not obey it and to do what's wrong. And many times you really want to do what's right, but you also at the same time want to do what's wrong. What is that? That's this battle that I'm talking to you about. Remember the story about Teddy, the button? Remember how that he had an enemy and he found out who it was? What was it? It was himself. When he looked in the mirror, the minister said, "That's your enemy." And he called it bully. Remember? And he would say, "Bully wants me to do this, but my commander wants me to do this, and I want to obey the commander." And remember the day that he voluntarily said, "I'll join the commander and I'll be a soldier for him. I've come to enlist," he said. Remember that? Well, that's what I'm talking about today. Satan uses your own flesh and your own self and its desires. And that's what, that is your enemy. That conflicts with the way that God deals with you to follow him and to serve him and obey him and love him. And you have that immense conflict. And Paul explained it like this. He said, when sin revived in my life and I chose to sin, I died inside. Your spirit dies. And so here, let's take this then. He said in chapter 2 of Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So when you come to the Lord, a part of you, your spiritual life, is dead. You've been giving in to sin, and you're living in sin, and you're doing sin. And when you're doing that, you're dead in trespasses and sin. So when you come to Jesus, you come and he gives you life. And that's what he says here. He said, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Now this word course, what does that mean? A river has a course. What does that mean? A river, have you ever seen a rushing, raging river? It's going a certain direction, isn't it? I mean, you don't see rivers just like going, "Oh, well, let's go this way. Oh, well, let's go back this way." No, usually a river, it has a certain direction it goes. If you try to, have you ever been in a river and you try to walk up the other direction? It's kind of difficult, isn't it? If you're in a canoe and you're on the river, or a kayak, and if you don't paddle, how will you go? If you don't fight the river, how will you go? You go the direction of the river. That's where we are today. In he has quickened us and made us alive and saved us, raised us up from death, the death of sin. But in the time past, we just went the course of the river. We went the course of the world. Now we're in a great battle, and we're attempting to go the other way. That's why a lot of us talk about, "Oh, I had a battle today. Oh, I just, the enemy pressed me so hard." You hear people say that? What they're talking about is, we're trying to go the opposite direction from where we used to go. And the river, the course of this whole world around us, and if you give in, your own flesh, its course is opposite from the Lord's. And so, there's your battle. We're trying to, you never hear the world or people in the world say, "Oh, don't be a stick in the mud." What does that mean? It means don't try to do something different from all of us. Some people say, "Oh, don't rock the boat." What does that mean? It means that people of the world, they don't want you to stand up and say, "I'm not doing that. I want to do this." Well, that's what goes on. In time past, we walked according to course of this world. Now it says something else. They walked according to the prince. Prince? Yeah, this world has a ruler. Who is the ruler of this world? Who would it be? God? The world that I'm talking about. The world of flesh and sin and the desires that are opposite God's. Who are they ruled by? Satan. So, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, I did not study that word air, but I said, Lord, what does that mean? I mean, to me, I thought about different things, but I know it's spiritual and it's not literal. But if you think about it in one way, thinking about it literal, I thought about the air waves. I've thought about the communication that goes out through the air of Satan and all of his stuff, his propaganda, all the time, the voices, the way that he talks to people, the way that he introduces ideas to people. To me, that's the power of the air. And you're either a receiver or you're a resistor to it. Do you want to be someone who just takes in all of his stuff? Or will you resist it? Tune it off. Turn it off. And that's what we have decided to do when we enlist in God's army, is that we no longer want to be a receiver to all this stuff from the power, the prince of the power of the air. But he wants it. He wants to get it to you anyway. There's a scene in the book called Pilgrim's Progress where Christian decided to join the Lord's army and to get away from the city where he was in because he was convinced it was going to be destroyed. And so when he left, what happened? All of his family, his townspeople, they're supposed to be his friends, which a friend should help you go the right way. Most friends in this world are going to try to keep you back in the world. So he was having to leave his friends. And they all came after him and hollered and threw things at him and wanted him to stay. And he put his fingers in his ears and said, "Life! I want life! I'm after eternal life!" And so he ran out of the city. Now, this is in this book, but it's a book written to show about how the Christian life is. So Christian had to quit listening to the prince of the power of the air. And he explains that is the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It's not just that people are going their own way. And if you join up with the world, if you go your own way, it's not just that you're going to just go your own way. You get overtaken with this prince and his power and his spirit. And it begins to work, and it does. You look at people today, you look at people who really, naturally, they would love. But they don't love. They've been overtaken by a spirit of hatred that's in the world, and it's in the prince of the power of the world. And you look at that person and say, you should love me. You should care for me. You shouldn't hurt me like that. Why do you do that? And here's why. They serve the prince of the power of the air. That spirit of that prince works in them. And that they wouldn't do you harm naturally. But it's that spirit, and it helps us to know these things when we're dealing with people, to think about it like that. They really don't mean to do that, but they're influenced so strongly by this spirit that it causes them to do that. And when you think about it that way, they're controlled, right? They're not in control anymore. They're controlled. They're like a little remote control vehicle. It goes wherever the person using the remote tells it to go. And so we have lots of people that are doing these things in the world. And that's what wants to suck you in too. It wants to make you controlled by this prince. It wants to make any of us that are trying to go God's way, it wants to take us. First of all, it tries to introduce itself as innocent, no harm. But remember, it's a control. It will brainwash you and feel like you're in control. You might feel like you're in control, but people are not in control. They are controlled by the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit works inside of them. It works to cause them to cheat and to be dishonest and to get ahead no matter how many they crush behind them. It works in so many ways. It works in the lusts of people's flesh, the desires of their flesh. The more they yield to those desires, the more that spirit twists them and perverts them and causes them to do things that aren't even sensible or natural and harm others. And so that's what works today in the spirit of this world. Okay, so if the Lord raises you up from that state, it doesn't just leave you alone. It wants you back. And so it begins to, there's constantly a fight. Now, let's see. I'll read one more verse, then I want to go to another one in Galatians. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Now this word is going to pop up just about wherever we read about the world. Lust of our flesh. That means the strong desires that your body and your physical being has. You have desires. You have a desire to eat, right? I mean, everybody loves to eat. That's one of the desires of your flesh. Can you look out into the world today and see how people are controlled by their desire to eat? You think about, there's illnesses, there's mental illnesses. There are people who are trapped in their own bodies and can't even get in out of their house or out of their room or out of their bed. They're controlled by their appetite. You know people like that? It works. There's so much of that. There's people today, and think about this, the world of drugs and alcohol. That's not just something tame. It's control. People are controlled by substances that actually harm them. What well-thinking person would go out today and say, I am going to have a good life, so every day I am going to harm myself? That doesn't make sense, does it? I'm going to hurt myself real bad today, but I'm going to have a good life. This is going to be fun. That doesn't make sense, but this is what that spirit that controls this world, it controls people by their appetites. So, alcohol, it becomes a strong habit in people's lives, and they can't quit it. They want to quit, but it's their God. They worship it, and it tells them what to do, and they obey it. The scripture says right here in Colossians, it talks about people whose God is their belly or their appetite. Whatever that God tells them to do, they do it, and they're controlled by it. Drugs the same way. But remember this, every appetite that you have, that you give into, every urge that you give into, and you do not rule it, like you do not say no when temptation comes. Let's say a person, the attraction to love, for romance, for marriage, to be in a relationship with someone. God has that. His plan has boundaries around that. You don't have this type of relationship with someone that you're not married to. You understand what I mean? But Satan says, Yes, you do. You want that. You're not married to them, but your flesh drives you to that. And so you have a whole world of people today, and it's pushed upon them. It's pushed upon children and young people, that loose lifestyle. It's pushed upon you, and you don't even realize that it's like such a slippery slope. It's just, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. What does the scripture say about when everybody's doing it? Let me read you what the wisest man said. The wisest man said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Do not say yes. If people entice you," another place it says something about, "Do not follow a crowd to do evil." Don't follow the crowd to do evil. What did Jesus say about the broad way that goes straight into hell? He said there's going to be many that go in, and it's a downward way. So God is saying today, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you're going to have to go against the course. Yes, you're going to have to go a different direction. But I have something for you. I have heaven. I have joy. I have peace. I have forgiveness and pardon and freedom. This other is control. Remember that. Christ has true freedom. You're free to be what God created you to be. But in the course of this world, you're not free to be who God created you to be. You get controlled with all of these other things. And so there's terrible anger. There's terrible frustration and an awful unrest in a person who's going the course of this world. There's never, you don't even see it out there. I look many times, I'm always looking in people's eyes. I don't look at people what they're wearing. I look in countenances. I search for their eyes, I smile at them, and I'm looking for a smile back. I'm looking for what's inside you. What do you have? Something inside you. Are you a believer? Do you know the Lord Jesus? That's what I'm looking for. Sometimes I see it, but not very often. Not very often anymore do you see true joy in people's lives. Why? Because they're under some kind of control, some way or other. So many people are locked inside of something that Satan has put into their lives, and they can't get out. And so that frustration and that deadness that I talked about, they're dead, that comes out in their expressions. It comes out in their music. It comes out in the movies. The blackness, the darkness, the death. It's an obsession. It's part of their existence, but they have no true life. So that's why we're here. We're here to recruit. We're here to say, there's more. There's another side. Come and get on God's side. Come and get in the army of the Lord. Yes, you're going to have a fight. It's going to be exciting. There's not a dull day because you're in a fight. You're receiving directions from the commander. You're exercising and discerning good and evil. It's a wonderful life. It's an exciting life. I thank God today for what He has given us in salvation. I'm thankful that He has raised us up from this course and this spirit and these desires and lusts. And He's given us His mercy and His love. Now, I wanted to look at Galatians chapter 5. This tells you about the warfare. In verse 16, 5 and 16, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk as the Lord directs you. Walk as His Spirit guides you. And when you do that," he says, "you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's called self-control. You're controlling those lusts. You're through the Spirit, you're no longer controlled, but you're controlling. God has made you a prince or a princess, we'll say that. He has made you in a commander. You follow your commander, but you also have authority over your body instead of it controlling you. Now, this is the difference in those who walk in the course of this world and those who are in the Lord's army. This is the difference. We don't walk according to those lusts anymore, but we don't fulfill them because we're walking in the Spirit. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It has desires that are against the Spirit. And the Spirit lusts against the flesh. It has desires that are opposite to the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when your flesh has got stuff for you to do, and you know the Spirit says no, you don't do the things that you would do if you were obeying the flesh anymore. And the opposite is true. If you don't listen to the Spirit and you listen to the flesh, the things that the Spirit would have you to do, love, speak kindly, tell the truth, don't lust after forbidden things, you would do those. When you're following the flesh, you don't do the things that you would do if you were following the Spirit. They're contrary to one another. Now, here's what happens so many times is the enemy comes and tries to mix it all up. You can do flesh and you can do Jesus too. Churches out there today teach it that way. Lots and lots of people do that. And we were talking about it a while ago where somebody said, you don't have to live that carefully. You can do some of this. You can have the world and you can have Jesus too. But I want to tell you, it never has worked to mix them. What happened in Noah's time? It got to where the earth was so violent it had to be destroyed. And it was all because things got all mixed up. Somebody had to stand up and say no. And one person did, and God used him to save humankind. Well, right after the flood, it got going like that again until one person stood up, and that was Abraham. And he said, no, I'm not worshiping the moon like y'all and all kinds of gods. And God called him and led him. And down through the ages, it's been like that. Who will stand up and say, no, I won't go that way. I won't go the course of this world. I'm going to live for Jesus. So many times in the ages of time, there has been someone like that. Sometimes it's a very unlikely person. It looks like that all the influences in their life are against them. And you read about them in history where they stood up and they said, no, I won't do that. I'll be a strong Christian. And those kind of people, you can read about them in history. They changed the world. They did things that are still influencing societies and people today. You ever hear about John Newton? He was a man who was a wicked man. He was a slave trader. But after he joined the Lord's army, you know what he did? He and another man named Wilberforce, they got together, they influenced the laws of England, and they outlawed the slave trade in England. Now that's what one man can do. God can come and use your life as a Christian soldier to help turn a lot of people away from that lifestyle. There have been other people in life. There was a young man one time. He was a boy. We heard this story when we were raising our children. It was a story from the radio program. And the boy, in his family, they said verses, and the father said one day, Billy, what is your verse? And he said, a verse from the New Testament about being a preacher. A bishop must be blameless. I think that was the verse that he said. And his father said, why did you say that verse? And he said, well, I just feel like that I should be a worker for the Lord like that. So he went downtown and he was walking along the street and he saw a man going into a bar. And he walked up to the man and he said, "Sir, don't go in there. You'll ruin your life in there." And the man was angry and cursed at him and hit him and knocked him down and went on in. And the boy thought, "Oh, I've miserably failed. I don't think I'll ever be a preacher. I'm no good at it. Look what just happened." But his parents encouraged him, and he did grow up and become a preacher. Years later, he was preaching in a crowd one time, and he told that story. And he said, "I felt like that I failed so badly that I devoted my life to helping others get away from the life of alcohol just so I could overcome that one failure that I made back when I was a boy." And he said, "I'm so sorry that I made that man so mad," and he went back into the bar. And as he was saying that, a man stood up in the back of the building and said, "Sir," he said, "I'm the man. I'm the man that you talked to." And he said, "Never did I ever have anything happen like that before." And he said, "It wouldn't. When I went into the bar, I couldn't drink. After a while, I went out and I gave my life to God. And I've been helping boys stay away from alcohol ever since." That was the influence of just one person. And it just went to hundreds of other people. And you could do that today as a child of God, as a soldier. You can stand up against the course of this strong river. You can fight in the Lord's army, and you can help others. But be careful of his agent, the world. Be careful of it. He said in 1 John 2 and verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Remember, there's a distinct difference. I want to read to you also from the book of James. In chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, listen to this term that he uses. It's a very strong language. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." You know what that is? An adulterer is someone who's married and he looks out and he sees somebody else and he decides to leave the person that he's with and go with this other person. And that broken-hearted spouse and children left behind is something that we have in all this world today. Okay, that person is someone who just goes after their own desires and hurts others, okay? That's what an adulterer or adulteress is, simply. There's a lot of variations to that, but anyway. "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" God created us to be with him and to love him like a woman and a man are to love each other in a marriage. And when we go away from God and we love the things of this world and we walk according to the course of this world and we leave God behind, it's like adultery. It's like somebody cheating on their spouse and leaving their home and breaking that heart. One scripture in the Old Testament tells about how God felt whenever his children began to worship other gods. He said, "I am broken with your whorish heart." Whorish means somebody who cheats on and lives an immoral life. God's heart was broken. That word broken, it really means crushed and mangled. This is the relationship that God is describing here. "I want to walk closely with you. I want to live in you. I want to have fellowship with you. And I want you to enjoy the best of life. But when you leave me and you go after the things of this world, this is how it is. It's adultery. and we can't be friends. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. And what did he say in 1 John? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have to make a decision. Will I go the way of this world or will I love God? Because we can't do both. Jesus put it really clear. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either you'll love one and hate the other, you'll hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon, which is the love of this world and its gain. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So, we have a decision. We have a time here to think about, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to give in to all of the desires of my flesh, that's the world, and Satan who controls it? Or am I going to live for the Lord? Now, I have several stories that came to my mind about this. If we're going to quit living for the world, we have to cut it off from supplying our life with its stuff. And here's a little object lesson that I thought about. It happened to us. When we lived over here on Airport Road, there are lots of mice around and rats. Okay? We kept getting them in our house. And we blamed people leaving the door open. Well, where we would see them, they would come up through the burners of our stove. And then you'd see it, and he'd go back down in there again. And I always thought, what? Why is that mouse in my stove? It was gross. It made me feel really dirty and yucky. And so one day I was coming in that back door, and I looked down where the gas pipe entered the wall that goes into the house that supplied fuel to the stove and other gas things in there. Right next to it was a great big opening. We looked at that and we said, there's where our mice are getting in. They came in with what was legitimately supposed to be in there, the gas to supply the stove, but was not supposed to be letting mice in. So we closed that all up, and that just about did it. There may be a few other times. We also had another place that was letting in some mice. We got that closed up. After that, they could be all out there in the yard, and they weren't hurting me because I cut off the way they entered my life. So that's the way we're going to have to do with this world. That's why we live very carefully. Remember how the world, look and see, Lord, how does this world enter my life and plague me and come in and bring its trash into my life? Cut it off. Plug it up, whatever it is to you in your life. Shut your ears to it and say, I don't want it anymore. I'm going to plug up whatever, however it's coming in. Another object lesson is just a small one, but my dad always said, your boat can be in the sea and you're fine. But if the sea gets in the boat, then you're not fine. Okay, you get that? Now let's put that with this thought about the world. You and I live in the world, and Jesus said, I'm not taking you out of the world, but I want to keep you from the evil. Again, you don't want the world in you. You want it out. You want to be out there witnessing, not succumbing. So that's another little object lesson. And here's one more. I'll leave you with this one. But years ago, I met a man from India. And he preached a message. And the only time I ever saw him and the only message I ever heard from him, but it made an impact on me because of this story that he told. He said that over in India, there was a man, or maybe it wasn't in India. It was just a story. But a man wanted a certain rug that a person had in his town. And the town was divided by a river. He had to go across the river, swim across the river, and he did this one night. He decided he was going to steal that rug. And it's a fur rug, a beautiful bear fur rug. So he went over there, got that rug, he wrapped it around himself, and he went to go back home. Well, he forgot about the river. So he thought, well, no problem, just jump in the river and go across and get this thing back home. But what he didn't realize was when he jumped in the river that the fur took on water, and he had it wrapped around him, and he got tangled in it, and he drowned. Now, this is a story of how the world affects us. We think, oh, fine, I can just take this. I'll be all right with this. But what it does, it drowns us, it entangles us. So I want to leave those things with you today. I wasn't sure just what the Lord wanted me to say today, but I felt that he kept saying to me, you need to say this. So I don't know. I'll just say that this is God talking to us this morning. Let's live for him. Let's give our lives to him completely. Let's not give in to the crowd. Let's not give in to the controlling spirit of this world.